إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah سبحانه وتعالى mentioned the purpose of our creation and He said, وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. The Mufassirin have said that يعبدون is also to be understood as يعرفون. Allah said, we have not created the jinn and the insan for anything other than our worship. يعبدون and يعرفون means to recognize Allah سبحانه وتعالى. So Allah is saying, I have not created you for any purpose other than to recognize me. And this obviously follows because how can you worship somebody you don't recognize? So recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is essential to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that is His right that He should be worshipped. Recognition is not merely a matter of identifying the person or the individual. Recognition has to do with not just identifying, but after identifying, to understand the relationship of that person to yourself. Only then is recognition complete. You can recognize something and you have no relation to that. It does not really amount to anything. But when you recognize somebody or something and you also understand their relationship to you, then that is what produces, especially where that relationship is a relationship of love and of benefit, then the recognition produces love. The hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ta'ala Allahu al-amthal, Allah is greater and higher than any misal that is given. But if you look at parents, for example, children recognize parents, not just as this is Mr. So-and-so, this is Mrs. So-and-so, but this is my mother, this is my father. And because of that because of that recognition of the relationship between the son and parent or mother or daughter and parent, it produces the love in the heart of the child for the benefit that they receive from the parent. Now, this relationship and the way it is connected with the benefit we receive, and the opposite is true, because if there is a person you recognize from whom you have been receiving evil, then it also generates negative feelings in the heart. So, the heart is the sensor which reacts and responds to the recognition of that relationship. So with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, biyadihi al-khayr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we only receive goodness from Allah jalla jalaluhu. Therefore, recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first step. The attributes of Allah jalla jalaluhu, His shan, His khudrat, and then to understand our relationship with Him and to recognize how we benefit from Him constantly, because of which we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more and more and more. The thing to understand in this benefit also, I mentioned this earlier in other Fajr reminders, and inshallah, if necessary and if time permits, we'll do that in further going ahead tomorrow and so on. But the benefit sometimes is not clear to us in terms of what we receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we understand the issue of rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah wants for us. We find a disconsonance because we want something else for ourselves. So when we say, oh Allah, give me this, we are stuck with that thing which we are asking for, but we don't recognize that Allah is not giving it to us, because Allah does not Allah knows that there is no khair, there is no benefit in it for us. And so sometimes there is this feeling that, oh, I'm asking this, but I'm not getting it. Also, sometimes we get difficulties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we feel, oh, why am I getting the difficulty? But the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then comes to our aid, where he said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves somebody, He gives him difficulties. So it's a sign of the love of Allah jalla jalaluhu. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the difficulties and to ease those difficulties for us, inshallah. So the point I'm making, and all of these points we'll cover later, but the point that today which I want to talk about is the issue of recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The reason I'm saying that is because, alhamdulillah, today there is a great awareness among especially young people, but also other people. Muslims have become more conscious of Islam, they want to learn about Islam and so on and so forth. And many times people come to me saying, I want to learn about Islam. Of course, I am no one to teach anyone about Islam, but since they come to me, what I say to them is what I want to say to you. And I'm really talking to myself in this context. There is a difference between learning about flying and learning to fly. I want you to keep this example in mind. There's a difference between learning about flying and learning to fly. So when somebody comes and says, I want to learn Islam, I tell them, define for yourself, what do you mean learn Islam? Do you want to learn about Islam or do you want to learn to fly? Which one? Now that is extremely important for us to differentiate in our minds, because learning Deen is as different from learning about Deen as learning to fly is different from learning about flying. Learning, therefore, in terms of Deen as well as flying. And the reason I'm giving the example of flying is because Deen is not a concept. Deen is not theology. Deen is not philosophy. Deen is not literature. Deen is a practice. Islam is the name of a practice. Islam is not the name of a theology. Islam nazariye ka naam nahi hai. Islam amal ka naam hai. And this is what we seem to have lost along the track from the time of our pious predecessors, from the time of the Salaf, where people, and if you read about them and the way they went about it, you understand what I'm saying. Let's go to the earliest, the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. And we have the famous story, which we have heard a million times before, of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, who gave a big dinner. He slaughtered a camel when he completed the memorization of Surah Al-Baqarah. And Surah Al-Baqarah took him 12 years to memorize. Now, you might say, well, why 12 years? Because our people today, especially in our country, subcontinent, memorized, young boys and girls, they memorize the entire Quran in 2 years. If they take 3 years, then usually the HIFS teachers say that this child is too slow, and you know, they lose interest in the child. And beyond 3 years, they will send them home. I mean, they will not even keep them in the HIFS madrasa, because they will say, well, this child is incapable of memorizing. Now, here we have a situation where, therefore, we have a child who does not know Arabic. For the most part, they don't even understand what they're memorizing. They're just memorizing the sound of the Quran. Because if you don't know what you're memorizing, then how can you say you memorize the Quran? You memorize the sound of the Quran. But on the contrary, you had Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, whose language was superior to ours, because he was a person for whom Arabic was his mother tongue. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu's teacher was superior to our teacher, because his teacher was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was superior himself to any of us today, because he was a Sahabi. His father was one of the Ashar al-Mubashara of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the 10 people who was promised Jannah. His father was the second Khalifa al-Rashid. Now, who is superior to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma? But yet, he took 12 years to memorize one surah, Suratul Baqarah. Now, they asked him this question. They said, why did you take so long? And his answer is proof of my definition of what Islam is. He said, radiallahu anhu, he said, we used to go, and he's now talking not only about himself, but about the practice of the Sahaba, which was true for all of them. He said, we used to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and take 10 ayat from him. Then we would memorize those 10 ayat, we would understand those 10 ayat. If we had any questions, we would go back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about those questions, we'd clarify those questions. If there were anything in those 10 ayat which required practice, which required putting into practice, if there were any ahkam, any rules, any orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those 10 ayat, then we would follow those orders, we would learn to do that amal, and only when we were satisfied with All of this, then we would go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and take the next 10 ayat. Now, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about learning about or learning? Are we talking about learning how to do or learning as in information? And that is the issue. When you say, I want to learn Islam, then define for yourself. Do you want to learn about flying or do you want to learn to fly? There is a huge difference. There is a major, major difference between the two things. So when somebody comes to me and say, I want to learn Islam, I have a standard prescription, which is the prescription that I received from my teachers. And my prescription is very simple. My prescription is, start praying tahajjud today. And pray tahajjud without a break, without missing a single day for the next 365 days. And at the end of 365 days, then you come back to me and then we go to the next stage. And then I say to them that in the course of that 365 days, you did well for 364 days, but on the 364th day, you missed praying tahajjud. You overslept or whatever the reason, you missed praying tahajjud. Then start counting from that day again. The next day becomes day one. Now this might sound like it is tough, but this is how the Sahaba learned. We know from the, and this is exactly what we know from the Quran itself, where in the Asbabun Nuzul of Suratul Muzzammil, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha narrates very clearly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the first 19 ayat and then did not reveal the 20th ayat for 12 months. And the 20th ayat, which is the ayat of Rukhsa, was revealed 12 months later. So for 12 months, the Sahaba prayed tahajjud with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as if it was fard, which is what was instructed in the first 5 ayat of Suratul Muzammil. So tahajjud is the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like all connections, it needs to be strengthened. For anything to be strengthened, it needs to be worked upon. And that is why this thing. We will continue, inshallah, going forward, of what is to be done. Those who are interested can start practice. Start praying tahajjud as if it is fard, starting now, and do that for 365 days, and then we come back for the next lesson. Until then, nothing else. Now you might say, well, I'm learning nothing for 365 days. No, you're not. You're learning everything that needs to be learned in that 365 days because you are learning to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. That is the meaning of practice. You go to a gym and you say, I want to build muscles. The man does not give you a lecture about calisthenics. He tells you how to start warming up and then he shows you how to lift weights. That is the key of understanding the entire issue of weight lifting to build the body. So when you are lifting weights, you are building your body and you can't do that without lifting weights. And that is the whole issue of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through amal, through work. Interpreting information and calling it knowledge is the biggest source of the problem. So today we say people are, I'm a student of knowledge. I say to them, you are not a student of knowledge, you're a student of information. If you want to get knowledge, then start practicing that information until knowledge happens. And that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. How long does it take? Allah knows. In that context, we understand why people like Imam Al-Ghazali spent 10 years wandering the earth, trying to understand and trying to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that context, we understand why Imam Ahmad spent years and years and years in this. Why Imam Malik spent years and years and years in this. Why Abdullah bin Mubarak, radiallahu anhu, rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, I spent 30 years learning adab before I started learning Islam. Can you imagine 30 years learning adab before that? Ibrahim Adhem, rahmatullahi alayhi, sat for 12 years in the stable of a horse doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, working on his heart. And any number of these examples. The key thing to understand is that Islam is the name of a practice, not theory. We'll do more inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.